Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amar Aleph, four lines from the top. Masur Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We had learned in the previous shiurim the opinion of Rabba, that even though our Mishnah says that if something is found in the hands of an Uman, Ein Lo Chazaka, there is no Chazaka, our Rabba qualified that there have to be two conditions met in order for that not to be a Chazaka. One is that there has to be Edom, that Edom saw how the item under discussion was given to the Uman, and as we also learned, raw, that we independently know, we have Edom that know that the Uman is in possession of this item. Then the Uman doesn't have a chazaka. However, if there were no Edom, or there is no raw, then the Uman has a migui by which he could claim that he doesn't have the item, and therefore by claiming and admitting that he does have the item, but he legitimately bought it, we believe him. Ask the Gemara on that opinion of Rabba. Master of Nachba Yitzchak, from the words of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Uman ein lo chazaka. The Uman doesn't have a chazaka. So the obvious tik in the words of the Mishnah are, Uman hu de ein lo chazaka. It's strictly an Uman who doesn't have a chazaka. Ha'achar, anyone else besides an Uman, yesh le chazaka, would have a chazaka. Now ask the Gemara Hechi Dami, what are the circumstances that our Mishnah is referring to? Ida ike Edim, if there are Edim that saw how I gave an item, not to an Uman, but I asked somebody to hold an item for me as a Pikadon, and yet the Mishnah would say that if he's not an Uman, he can have a chazaka. The question is obvious. Acher, amai yesh le chazaka. Why would another person have a chazaka under those circumstances? If there are Edim that saw me give the item to him, so he doesn't have a migui. The Edim saw me give it to him as a bikadin. It must be, lav, our Mishnah is referring to situation, the leka Edim, that there are no Edim to the original giving over of this object. And yet, even though there are no Edim, Viktani, our Mishnah teaches us that Uman ain't loy chazaka. So we see that our Mishnah, which is the source for the din, that Uman doesn't have a chazaka, is referring to situation of ain't loy Edim, and yet the Mishnah says that Uman doesn't have chazaka, which to Yufta, the rabbi, to Yufta, rabbi's opinion is refuted, because according to Rabba, even a Uman, if there are no Edim to the original giving over the item, the halacha would have a chazaka. The Mefarshim go on to explain that why didn't the Gemara say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that loy ra, that we didn't see that the Uman is holding on to the item, and we said that even according to Rabba, ra is necessary. So Rishonim explained, it's difficult to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a case that we don't know raw, that we don't know that the Uman has the item, because it would be very hard to understand how there's a discussion about something that we don't know that the person has. So our Gemara has at this point refuted Rabbi's opinion, and according to our Gemara's Maskana, which is the opinion of Abaya, the halach is that Uman ein lo chazaka, even if there are no Edim who saw the person giving over the item to the Uman. The Rishonim do attempt to try to answer how Rabbah could perhaps reconcile his opinion with the Mishnah. For they say, there's two types of situation of giving something over in front of Edim. One situation is where the Edim see the owner of the item giving over this item to this person, but they don't actually hear what he says as he gives it over to him. And another situation of Edom is where they actually hear not just they see, but they also hear what is being said from the person who owns the item, who's giving it over to someone else. So Rabbi could explain, say the Rishonim, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that there are indeed Edom, as Rabbi's opinion is, that only if there are Edom does the Uman not have a Chazakah. Just the way to understand the Mishnah would be as follows. By an Uman, as soon as there are Edom that saw the owner of the object giving it over to the Uman, that is enough, according to Rabbi, for there not to be a Chazakah for the Uman. Whereas by other people, even if there are Edom who saw me giving it over to him, but they didn't hear what I said, that will be enough for that person to have a chazaka. So our Mishnah is talking about Edom in both cases. It's just what the Edom had to see and hear to be considered Edom. The threshold by an Uman is much less. By an Uman, all we need is that they should see, whereas by Edom, they have to also, whereas by everyone else, they have to see and also hear me giving it over to him as a bikkurim. Tan Rabban, says the Braisa, Nuschal filei kelim bekelim beis Uman. If somebody went to pick up something by an Uman, and the Uman gave him the wrong item, so the person who received, let's use an example, the wrong suit from the cleaner, the halacha would be that he's allowed to use that suit until the Pash Pshat in the Gemara, as until the person whose suit I received could prove that that's his suit, until then I could use that suit. So as we explained, the Gemara, which is the opinion of many Rishonim, I could use that suit until the first person, until the real owner of the suit comes and says, this is my suit. And as the Truma Sadeshan explains, he obviously has to bring Edom to prove that this is his suit, or he has to bring a Raya to prove that's his suit. And once he successfully brings a Raya that's a suit, I have to return the suit to him. Not only would I have to return the suit to him, but I would have to pay him to the use of his suit during this interim period. However, there are other Rishonim that learn a different Pshat in the Gemara. And they explain that that according to our Gemara, even if the true owner of the suit can prove that this is his suit, until the Uman, until the cleaners gives me back my suit, or at least reimburses me for my suit, I don't have to give back to that person his suit. However, continues the Braisa, the Beis Ovel or Beis HaMishnah, if it was mixed, something got mixed up in a house where people are sitting shiva, or in a catering hall, there aloch is, I may not use what I pick up that's not mine, everybody has to use their own item. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Sefer. And I saw the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara doesn't ask my Tama the Reisha or my Tama the Sefer. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? Because it's obvious what the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer is. The Reisha is referring to a pure mix-up. The Uman gave me the wrong item. The question, the Sefer, however, is where I was in a Beis Ovel or a Beis HaMishta and I took somebody else's item, and therefore there's a real concern that I might have done so deliberately. I saw a better coat, I saw a better hat, so I took somebody else's coat, I took somebody else's hat. So it's obvious why in the Sefer the halach is Harezeh lo yishtamish behem Achyova haloi vitesheloi, I may not use someone else's item without permission. That's very understandable. What the Gemara's question explained the Mefarshim is why in the Reisha is the halacha that just because the Uman gave it to me is the halacha that I could use it. Why should I be allowed to use somebody else's item? So in other words, the Gemara's question is not that the Gemara doesn't understand the difference between the Reish and the Sefer. Not that the Gemara doesn't clearly understand the psak of the Sefer, that if I was the one that caused the mix-up, certainly I may not use that person's item. The Gemara's question is, Maishna Reisha, why in the Reisha is the Gemara, is the Braisa, so quick to paskin, that if it was the Uman that caused the mix-up, I'm allowed to use it, why? Why? I may be using somebody else's item without permission. How could that be done? Answers the Gemara, Amarav, have you seen the Kamei de Chavivi? I was standing in front of my uncle Rab Chia. Vamali v'chein Adam Oster Loimer L'umigin Mechali Talesi. It was very common that if someone would leave a suit by an Uman, he would give the Uman permission that if he gets the opportunity to sell it, he should sell it. And therefore, when the Uman handed to me this suit, even if it's not my suit, I could assume that it was done with the understanding that the Uman knew that it wasn't my suit, but the Uman still has a right to give me that suit because the Uman was given permission to sell that suit. And as the Ritva explains, we add one more point in understanding this Gemara. There is a concept throughout Halacha of Uman Lemarim Nosei. An Uman is careful to keep his reputation, and therefore the Uman is careful to make sure to give me back what's mine, or to give back what he may give me, because otherwise certainly his reputation could be hurt if he just gets things mixed up this way. Amrav, based on this understanding, says Rav Chibreid Rav Nachman, Loi Shana, therefore it's only he, the Uman himself, if he was the one that gave me the wrong item, is the halacha that I may use it. Aval ishtu banav loy. Why? Because the Uman may be aware that the person who left this suit with him gave him permission to sell it. And therefore he gave it to me instead of selling it, because instead of my suit. That only the Uman can know, but not his family. Furthermore, for who nami, he, the Uman himself, that were being makel, were being lenient, that if he gives me the wrong suit, I may use it. Loi amaron eld amalei talistam. It's only in a situation where he just said, take the talis. He didn't call it my talis, talischa. Aval talischa. If the Uman used the word talischa, so it's obvious that the Uman is also making an error here. Their halacha would be loi, I may not use the talis, because high laf talis today, it's not my talis, and the Uman is obviously making a mistake, and even if it's the Uman making a mistake, I can't use somebody else's item, obviously without permission. There's a Orach HaShulchan that discusses, that says in a situation where in their community, where they lived, the land was very muddy, very hilly, and people would commonly wear rubbers almost all the time. And so when you would come to shul, there would be many pairs of rubbers in the hallway, in the coat room of the shul. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the minig ha-makim, the accepted minig was that everybody understands that it's difficult to keep track of whose rubbers are who, and the halacha is that if somebody takes someone else's rubbers, they may use it. Ramosha quotes Daruch HaShulchan, but he makes a number of observations in the Psak of Daruch HaShulchan. Number one, he says, certainly, even though there's a minig amokim, that I could use someone else's rubbers if I end up taking his, and instead of him taking mine, and he's taking mine, it's only in a situation that at this point we're not exactly sure whose rubbers are who. But if I become aware, or the owner of the rubbers is able to prove that these rubbers are his, clearly the halacha is that I have to return the rubbers to him. The minig hamakom does not allow for us just to take somebody else's items and use it without permission. Furthermore, Ramosha says, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, it depends very much on there being a minig hamakom. And therefore, says Ramosha, if if there is no minig hamakom, we can't automatically assume that I have permission to use somebody else's rubbers and rub item. However, Moshe says it's appropriate that every place establish such a minig hamakom, that the minig hamakom that they establish be that everybody has a right that if something gets mixed up, you could use somebody else's item. Moshe says the way to establish such a minig hamakom is to put up a sign in the coach room or in the shul saying that this is the minig hamakom in this place, that if people get their items mixed up, they're allowed to use the other person's item. Rav Ozner, in the Shalos Teshuvos Shevet Halevi, says that not only does the Aruch HaShulchan's minig hamakom apply to something that expensive and not that valuable like rubbers, but he says even on something expensive like a hat, if there's a minig hamakom that people would daven in place where many people daven and many people have the same type of hat, so it's very easy for these hats to get mixed up, the halach is if somebody takes my hat, I could take his hat, that's considered the minig hamakom. I saw a tshuva from the Shalos Teshuvos Mishnah Halachas that takes this concept even a step further. And he says that in a situation where the person took my talis, talisim got mixed up in shul, and somebody took my talis and he left his talis, and even if there is no minig hamakom, and certainly talisim may be something that there's a siman on, I know who this is my talis, and he knows this is his talis, the halacha would be, says the Mishnah Halachas, that you could use the other person's talis. Because he employs a concept that we've learned of nichalei le'inish, the eved mitzvah m'maynei, people are satisfied that mitzvah should be done with their item. So certainly here, where he took my talis by mistake, and only his talis, someone else's talis remains here, and I need a talis in order to daven, I could use that talis, nichalei le'inish, the eved mitzvah m'maynei. Says the Gemara, Omlei Abaye L'Rava Ta'achvalei Ramai the Pumbedisa. I'm going to show you what the people who weren't honest in Pumbedisa did. And as the Itur explains, the reason our Gemara has to come in to understand what to do under these circumstances, because since the person, the Pumbedisa people, as our Gemara just said, weren't honest, so when sometimes there's a question, we can rely on a Shvua to come to a, to understand how to do it. But here, since these people are dishonest, we can't rely on a shvua. My avdi, what do they do? Amrle, if somebody says to one of them, Havli Saboy, give me back my coat that I gave to you, he was a tailor, he was a cleaner, and the person says, Lo hayudvarim ma'olam, it's not true, I never had your coat. So I say, Ha isli sadi dechazi gaboch, I have witnesses that saw my coat by you. Amalei, ha'uachrinahava. It was a different coat. It wasn't the coat that you, that's yours. So I challenge the person, and I say to him, afkinu v'nechzinu, take it out, let me see if it is or it isn't. Amalei, shalach, the person could say to me, the woman could say to me, ivra lemifkinamine. I refuse to show it to you, because I consider this an invasion of my privacy, that you demanding me to show you something which is not yours. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. Tosfos, other Rishonim, have a different approach to this Gemara. What happened here, they explain, is that I left my coat by an uman, my tailor, a cleaner, and now I come to ask to get back my coat. And this tailor, this woman wants an exorbitant fee. Now, as long as I can't prove that he is at all holding on to my item, I'm in a very weak position. So therefore, what I do is, I try to get him to show me the item, and by him showing me the item, so then his position is weakened, and therefore, I ask him to show it to me. And this woman is enough of a Talmud Chacham to respond to me, if I'm going to show you the item, I'm not going to be able to have a migui. Because what could have been my migui? My migui could have been lahayud var mailam. I never held on to an item of yours. So it's important for him to protect that, and that's why, says the Gemara, that the Uman has a right to say, lemefkinalei, I won't show it to you. Amarava, shapikarmalei. We can't force him to show it to us. And the way that we shine him, explained, the Rajba explains the machloikis between Rava and Abaya, is that we're referring to Ra Tanya, because Rava, let's just finish the Gemara, because Rava says, only when I know for sure that the Uman has the item, can I force him to show it to me. But if not, I cannot force him to show it to me. And as I was about to say, the Rajba explains the machloikis between Abaya and Rava, is how do we define Rava? How do we find Ra? That means, we're referring here to a situation where the Uman has a coat, which is similar to my coat. The question is that enough to be considered in the category of Ra? According to Abaya, as long as we know that he has something, that there are Edom that saw something similar to my coat in the possession of the Uman, that's already a situation of Ra. Whereas according to Rava, Ra means that we have to have Edom to know for sure that this item that belongs to me is in the possession of the Uman. Anything else will not be considered Ra. Amar Vashi, so says Rav Ashi, V'chachem, but if I am smart, mashvilei ra. And again, what Rav Ashi is trying to accomplish, as we've been learning our Gemara, is to weaken the ability for this Uman to have a migui. And the way we weaken his ability for having a migui is by him showing the item, and therefore he doesn't have a migui of being able to say, lo yhoyot varma oilam. What would I do? Damalei, amai tfisislei. Why are you holding on to my item? Because you think I owe you money, and this is the way you're going to be able to get the money. Hashta, so I ask of you, afkinu v'shaminu, show me the item, so that we can evaluate its value. So then, shkol atedoch, v'shkol anodidei, and then we can make a calculation, what's yours, what's mine. So I saw Mefarshim explain what is Rav Ashi's advice. The Uman, as we've been explaining, recognizes that the strength of his position is completely based on him not showing the coat. So by me coming and trying to tell him, well, why don't you show it so we can make a cheshbon, is that going to make the Uman give up his position of power, of strength? So I saw that Mefarshim say that's really a lumdusha machloikis going on here. The machloikis here is if showing something not in front of Edom, it's considered showing it. Rava and Abaya are of the opinion that as soon as the Uman shows it, even if it weren't in front of Edom, his position is weakened. And therefore, they don't even suggest that we should tell the Uman to show it. Whereas Rav Ashi's opinion is that showing it out in front of Edom is not considered showing it. And therefore I tell him, show it to me. Are you worried that your position is going to get weakened? Don't do it in front of Edom. Still, says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Achabreid Rav Avila Rav Ashi, Matz Amalei, Letzriich L'shumet Edoch, Kvashimei Kamid Edoch. The Uman doesn't want to show the item, because as soon as he shows the item, there's always a chance that I'm hiding Edom here, that will see that he has my item, and therefore the Uman just says, pay me what I want, or otherwise I have a migui of saying, L'hoi Dvar Ma'olam, and therefore I will prevail. We learned in the Mishnah that Oris and Loi Chazaka, that an Oris doesn't have a Chazaka. That if somebody was on a property only as an Oris, he doesn't have a Chazaka. Ask the Gemara, Mai, why doesn't he have a Chazaka? Arad no pashta palga vashta kula, as we have learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times, that an Oris is a sharecropper. He gets a certain percentage of the yield. So normally, an Oris only gets a certain percentage. And here, the person, this Oris, is getting the entire crops of the field. Isn't that the biggest proof that he's not an Oris. So why, just because he was an Oris, does he lose the ability to have a Chazaka? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Barisei Bati Ovis. And there are a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand Barisei Bati Ovis. The Rashbam explains, Arisei Bati Ovis are Arisim who are in the family, in this family as an Oris, for many generations. And these type of Arisim, say the Rashbam, unlike the regular situation of an Oris, the way it worked with them was that they got the property for a number, they got all the produce for a couple of years, and then afterwards the owners got all of the produce. And therefore, by the Arisei Bati Ovis, the fact that they eat, that they get all of the products for all the, get all the products for years, is not a proof that they're not an Oris. Another pshat that the Rebbeinu Chananel suggests is that the way it worked with the Arisei Bati Ovis, unlike other Arisim, the Arisim get a share and the owner get a share. And the way it worked was, as soon as the produce was ready for harvesting, the Oris took his part and the owner took his part. By the Arisei Bati Ovis, it worked that the Oris Bati Ovis took all of the produce into his warehouse, and only after he took all of the produce into his warehouse, then did he divide it up, giving his share, keeping his share, and giving the owners their share. And therefore, the fact that he took all of the produce is not a raya that he's not an Oris. Another pshat that I saw in Arisei Bati Ovis is that these Arisim worked for an entire family. There were a number of brothers who had a number of fields, and the way these brothers worked out amongst themselves is that the Oris would take all of the produce of one of the brothers' fields for a number of years, and the other brothers would, and the Oris would work on all of the fields, and the other brothers would keep all of their produce, and then they would rotate amongst the brothers how the Oris would keep all of the produce of one of the brothers' fields for a couple of years. And therefore, it's not considered a situation that even though the Oris is taking all of the produce, that he should be able to have a chazaka. There's a very interesting point that the Rashbam says here. The Rashbam says, Masnisim Barisei Bati Ovis Mairi, our Mishnah is speaking about the Arisei Bati Ovis, Shirigilim Lishma Sodash Mishpacha Zum Oilam, that they have the chazaka of what, of doing, being the Oris in this field, Hain Vavaseyan Barisis, Veloha Yorchoyim Lachlifoy. So Rashbam makes a point, this is the way the Paiskim understand what the Rashbam is saying, that because these are Arisei Bati Ovis, and they have this position in their family for all of these generations, that's why they can't be removed from their position. What the Rashbam is saying, say the Paiskim, is only such a person, especially unique situation of Arisei Bati Ovis, cannot be removed from their position. But anyone else, even though he has a position for many years, halachically can be removed from his position. But as Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, there's one exception to that rule. And that is if somebody has a position of Avodas HaKodesh. If somebody's a Rav, a Rebbe, and he has a Chazok on that position, unless it's for good reason that can be proven in Beis Din, a person may not be removed from his position. Rav Zilberstein does discuss how do we categorize who is considered in a position of Kli Kodesh, of working for the Tzibur, that he can't be removed from his position. He discusses and he mentions in the name of his father-in-law, Rav Yoshev, the question is if a doctor could be removed from his position in a hospital. He mentioned that there was such a situation years ago in Eretz Yisrael, where there was a doctor that would, a frum doctor who was working in a hospital, and the hospital wanted to remove him from his position, and the question is, were they allowed to? And it's interesting how he paskins. He says, we have to look, what is the doctor's intention in having this job? If his primary intention is to heal people, so then it's a mitzvah. For rapi, you rapi. And therefore, it's considered a dvar mitzvah. And as we've just said, any position of a dvar mitzvah, one may not be removed from that position. However, if this person is just doing it, is just a doctor, in order to make a living, in order to earn a salary, so that's considered like any other paid position that the Rashbam says, unless it's a special situation of a risei batei avos, the person can be removed from his position. Furthermore, the Rashbam, the Rav Zilberstein, discusses the situation even if somebody's a janitor in a yeshiva or in a shul, can he be removed from his position? And again, he says, by every person, you have to look at what is his intent in that, in his position. Is it for the Dvar Mitzvah, or is it just to make a salary? Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Oris Shahirid Arisin Taktov, if an Oris of a Bati Ovis, that we just said, doesn't have a Kazaka, but if he puts somebody else into his position, he subcontracted, yesh le chazaka. Then the halacha is he will have a chazaka. My tama, because even though he's an oris batei avos, and he can't be removed, and he's in a very strong position, as we just explained, that's strictly for him, but not for somebody who he gave over the job to. And therefore, the lo ovid inish the nachse risel ar v'shosim. So if the oris batei avos were to appoint someone else to take over this job, no one would agree to this unless it was truly his right to do so. And therefore, even in a situation of oris batei avos, here the oris batei avos, if he subcontracted the job and the owner of the property was not meicha, the halacha will be that the oris will achieve a chazaka. So the mefarshim explain. Now we can understand a question that the mefarshim asked in understanding our mishnah. We just finished explaining that when our Mishnah says that an Oris doesn't have a Chazaka, we said our Mishnah specifically speaking about an Oris Batei Avos. So the question is, if that's what the Mishnah means, why doesn't the Mishnah just say Oris Batei Avos Eloi Chazaka? Our Mishnah just uses the words Oris Eloi Chazaka, which is very misleading. Actually, the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara has asked, every Oris Eloi Chazaka? So the Mishnah, in order to avoid such a problem, should have specified explicitly that our Mishnah is referring to Oris Batei Avos. Answer the Mefarshim, that because if the Mishnah would have used the words Oris Batei Avos, Ein Lo Chazaka, we would think that Oris Batei Avos never has a Chazaka. But we just finished learning that even an Oris Batei Avos, there is a situation how we could accomplish a Chazaka. How? If he subcontracts the work. That's why our Mishnah was careful not to use the very broad term Oris Batei Avos, that could be misleading for one to believe that Oris Batei Avos can never have a Chazaka. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oris Shecholek L'Arisin, but if an Oris gave over some of the work to other Arisim, Ein Lo Chazaka, he still won't have a Chazaka. My Tama, he only asked him to help him out. So there are a number of pshatim how to understand this Gemara. Because we just had the previous words of the Gemara saying that if an Oris subcontracts his work, he gets a chazaka. And here it says that if he takes somebody else, he doesn't get a chazaka. How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So the Rashbam explains that the difference between the two Gemaras is that in the previous Gemara, the Oris subcontracted the work and wasn't on the field at all. And then the halach is that the Oris can achieve a chazaka. Whereas here it's a situation where the Oris is on the field, just he takes helpers to help him work on the field. In such a situation, our Gemara is teaching us that the Oris won't have a chazaka. Another way that the Rishonim explained this Gemara is that in the previous Gemara, that the Oris here, who's taking workers to help him, and still won't have a Chazaka, he's taking workers to help him on his portion. And since he's taking workers to help him on his portion, that doesn't prove anything to the portion that's owned by the owner. A third pshat that I saw the Ran says, that here we're still referring to a situation where the Oris took workers and completely subcontracted the work to those workers. However, he allowed the workers, he allowed the worker, he first worked on the field himself. In the previous Gemara, the Aris subcontracted the work and did no work on his own. Whereas in this Gemara, he did some of the work on his own first, and therefore it won't be a way that he could get a chazaka. Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. And as Tosfos points out, throughout Shas, when we have Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman we always have in Shas is Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. And we don't have to mention that it's Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Here, we mention Rav Nachman bar Yaakov by name, because there are two Rav Nachmans talking here. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. So we want to distinguish who is who. That's why Rav Nachman is called Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us. Aris made or ain't made. As we've learned in previous shiurim, a nogeya bedover, somebody who has a vested interest in a case, is not allowed to say edus. We explained that the achronim give one of two reasons. Either because chashash mishaker, we have to be concerned that since he has an interest in this case, he may lie. Or we explained, odem karav etzel atzmai. A person that's involved in the case is considered like a karav, and a karav is not allowed to say edus. So the question is, can an oris say edus regarding a field that belongs, that he could say that this field belongs to the person who's, that he's working for? Have Yosser of Yosef Kamei, Amalei Hocha Meshmul, oris meid. An oris could testify that the person who he's working for is the owner of the field. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, but didn't we learn in another Braisa that ain't a meid? That he can't say such testimony. How do we reconcile these two rulings? Answer more like Kasha. Had the ikapera ba'ara, had the lekapera ba'ara. And as Rashbam explains, if the oris already collected a salary, he has nothing to lose. He has no vested interest here anymore, and therefore he's trusted. On the other hand, if he hasn't collected a salary, and now if he won't say testimony on behalf of the person who owes him his salary, and therefore maybe the other person will prevail and be able to take ownership of the field, it'll be difficult, if not impossible, for him to collect the salary, and that's why he's considered a negei bedover, and that's why he can't say edus. Ask the Rishonim, but even if he already collected his salary, why should he be able to say edus? He wants to be rehired for this position next year. And this person, he knows, has already hired him. And especially if he'll say testimony on his behalf, is very likely to rehire him. Whereas if a new owner comes in, he won't necessarily hire him. Especially if he knows he's a friend of his adversary. So why shouldn't that be a reason that even if he already collected a salary, he should not be Neman? Answer the Rishonim. In those days, there wasn't a problem with employment. And an Oris never was worried that he's going to lose that, not find a job. So if he got already his salary this year, even if by saying testimony, he may not get this field back, he's not worried. There are plenty of fields to get to be an Oris for. Based on this explanation, continued the Rishonim in saying, were he an Oris Bati Ovis? Which we learned in the previous Gemara, an Oris Bati Ovis can never be moved from his position. So there an Oris Bati Ovis is much more interested in holding on to his position, because it's a very strong place to be in. Therefore an Oris Bati Ovis, even in a case where he already collected a salary, because he has other vested interests, will still be considered in the game bedover and not be able to say testimony. Amolek Simon. In fact, the Yaivitz is very disturbed how we could use the word Amalek to be a simon. We know the pasuk says Timcha Zeich Amalek B'tach Zashemayim Loi Tishkok. We have to completely eradicate the name of Amalek. So how do we use Amalek for a simon? So he answers that the Torah really gives us a remez that we're allowed to use Amalek for name for constructive purposes. Because the pasuk says Timcha Zeich Amalek. But you know what? Loi. There are times that you don't have to wipe out Amalek's name. When? Tishkach. When you're afraid that you're going to forget learning, and therefore you use the word Amalek to keep the Gemara's din that you should remember it, then you're allowed to use the name of Amalek. But then he asked the obvious question. Fine. Will Adi use the name Amalek for the constructive purpose in order to remember the Gemara, like the Gemara we're about to learn? But asks the Yaivitz, can we find another simon? Do we have to use the word Amalek for the simon? So he answers, the Gemara is teaching us a tremendous lesson. The lesson of the Gemara is that everything has something positive to it. Even Amalek, where the Torah says, Timcha Azeichar Amalek, you could find a positive use for it, and it's our job to do so. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Arav Meid Leloiva. A guarantor could say Egdus for Loiva. That means, if I am a guarantor for a loiva, I could say Edis that a piece of land belongs to him, even though I could be considered a negei bedover, because I want that piece of land should remain his, because if he loses it, then I'll be called on to pay the property, to pay the debt. Says the Gemara, we don't have to be concerned about that. However, qualifies the Gemara for who this le'arach rita, if the loiva has other property. So since the loiva has other property, therefore I'm not concerned, and therefore I'm not considered a negei bedover. And as the Rashbam goes on to explain, maybe even if he has other property, maybe he has a lot of debts, and therefore the more property he has, the less likely that I will be called on to exercise the guarantee. Still, we don't have to be that concerned, and as long as I know he has a piece of property, then I won't have to be called on to be the guarantor. I could say Edus. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Malva made the loiva. The Malva could say Edus for the loiva that this property belongs to him, even though for who this le'arachrita, even though he has other property. Again, only if he has other property. Because if he doesn't have other property, we have to be concerned that the Malva is saying testimony on behalf of the Loiva, because he's worried if the Loiva won't have this property, he won't have from where to pay his debt. Says the Rabban, then not only can a Malva say Edus for a Loiva, but a Malva could say Edus on behalf of the Arev, even though we could be concerned that the Malva wants that the Arev should have property, that he should have ability, that if he doesn't pay his debts, the Arev should be able to pay off his debts. We don't have to be concerned for such a remote possibility. Continues the Gemara. Lekeach Rishon made Lekeach Sheni. What happened here was, somebody sold a property to one person, and then he sold the second property to a second person. Somebody comes and contests the ownership of the second property, saying that that property never really belonged to the first owner. Says the Braisa that the first buyer is allowed to say testimony on behalf of the second buyer that the second property indeed belonged to the seller, even though he has an interest in making this claim, because this property is mortgaged to him. That if the property that he bought first will be taken away, or if the Bali Chayiv of the person who he bought the property will take the property away from him, he'll be able to go to the second property. But if the second buyer won't hold on to the property, he won't be able to have property to go back to. Says the Gemara, v'hu desle arachrita. If the seller or the buyer if the seller has other property, wanted, or if the buyer bought more than one property from the seller, so even if the property that this person is saying testimony about will be taken away from him, he still has where to fall back on if the property is taken away from him. Because he has where to fall back to if the property is taken back away from him, therefore he is trusted. Continues the Gemara, Kablan. There's a type of an arm which is known as the arm of Kablan. Normally, the halacha is you can only go to a guarantor if the loiva can't pay. But an arev kablan, the halacha is that the malva has the right to choose that he can collect from the loiva from the arev. So the question is, can an arev kablan say edus on behalf of the loiva? Amrle made, One version says that he can, family, anyone. One version says he can't say testimony on behalf of the Loiva. I'm really made it, the opinion that says that he could say Karev Dami. Just like Karev that we've explained, is since he has other property, if the Loiva has other property, he doesn't have to be worried. Family, anyone. The Nichle, they'll have it be other Tavayu. Because the Arev Kablan is very anxious, just the way some Rishayim learn the Gemara, that the Loiva should have as much property as possible, because the more property the Loiva has, the Chasa Bal Chayiv Madabai Shakal. The more property the Loiva has, the less likely that the Malva will come to him, the Arev Kablan, because he has a large variety by the Loiva. And therefore, it's in the interest of the Arev Kablan that the Loiva should have a lot of property, and therefore, even though an Arev is allowed to say Edus, an Arev Kablan cannot.